and live together. Sounds like a great idea, doesn't it? But it doesn't always work that way. And in their day, what their problem was is they forgot the Great Commission. They were fellowshipping, they were worshiping together, they were doing all things together. They sold everything, came together and sold everything and moved closer together, helped each other out, but they forgot the Great Commission. They weren't going to the rest of the world and preaching the gospel. And that's what, that can happen very easily. Even that could happen today with us. We could forget the Great Commission and get so wrapped up in, even as much as we enjoy our fellowship meetings once a month, we still need to remember our goal and our reason for being here is the Great Commission. And I don't think we've lost that. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that's a problem here. But it could be. And in some places it is. Some places churches have forgotten, well, we'll send some money over here to this missionary. He'll go out there and do the work for us, and we'll sit back here and we'll have our regular service time, and we'll have a conference every year, or we'll go to a conference every year, but we're not going to do anything else. And that happens. The church in Jerusalem, eventually, the Lord had to split them up. And he brought persecution to do it. And you definitely don't want that. We see what happened to them, and it was not good. Well, it was good in the long run, but for them personally, it was not a good thing. They suffered because of it. Acts 1:8 tells us what they were supposed to be doing. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That happened on the day of Pentecost. And so they were given that power, and they didn't do it. They didn't follow through with it. In their thinking, they were relying on the apostles. Those guys, that's their job. And our Lord, is at the time this was written, he was speaking specifically to the apostles, but they were to pass this word down to the other members of the church, which they did. We see later they did. But the church members themselves relied on their leaders, their leadership, the apostles, to do all this. And even when the apostles came to them and said, hey, we need help, and they chose 7 deacons to come and serve the tables for them so that they could study more, there was even more of it. They didn't want to get out themselves and spread the gospel. And remember, the majority of this first church, these people were not from Jerusalem. They had come there because of the Passover, and they had never left. They never went back home and to their homelands. And that was the Lord's purpose, was for them to go back and preach the gospel where they had come from, to spread it to the rest of the world. The problem with communism as it is practiced in our world today is that a central government controls everything. Everything from what the people eat, how they sleep, where they work, how much or how little education they will have, every aspect of their lives will be controlled and regulated by the central government. And we see it going that way now in our own land. It's obvious. We can blame one party or the other. We know one party seems to be going that way much faster than the other one. But the other one hasn't done much to slow it down, have they? They pretend to at times, but really they haven't done. Granted, they've done some. I'll give it that, but not enough. Not enough to slow it down. But even at that, I think it was mentioned this morning in the Sunday school lesson. whatever happens, we know is in God's hands. And if he brings, if it's his time to bring judgment on this country, we're going to have to deal with it. If it happens before he comes back, the sermon last night touched on some of that. You know, we need to heed these things as we enter the new year. We got to remember who we are and whose we are. Every aspect of their, back to communism, thoughts on that, every aspect of their lives will be controlled and regulated by the central government. In the first church, however, it was not the secular government that controlled everything, but it was the church itself. They expected the church, the church government, if you will, to control everything in their life. And they did for a time. But like I said, it didn't work. The sad thing we see today all around us are the people who claim the name of Christ but are tolerant of the things of the world that have crept into their places of worship. We see, like I mentioned earlier, religious organizations, churches, in some cases, that held to the truth on things against sodomy, against the sins that we've talked about this morning, communism and other things, now have become tolerant of those things. Even sadder is we see it going on in some of the Lord's own churches. The support of religious leaders and political leaders who openly support sodomy, communism, and even worse, the support of the murder of children and of the sick and of the elderly. And they're out there. And whether we want to admit it or not, there are people in some of the I don't know anybody in our congregation, but in other congregations around, there are people who actually support those things in one degree or another. They may not support it wholly, but in one way or another, you talk to them and they're like, well, maybe that would be better. People will tell you that. And these are from people who claim the name of Christ. We are in a society that has little to no natural affection. And it has spilt over into God's people. 2 Timothy for our last reading. 2 Timothy 3 in let's go back up to start with verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. It starts off with, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And it all hinges on that. All this whole list hinges on that, because they are lovers of their own selves. And notice he says in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They claim to be of Christ, but they're not. Their form of godliness is not godliness at all. They deny the power of God. We mentioned crimes against nature earlier. It's crimes against God. God called it abomination. We're seeing these things, this whole list that I just read, we're seeing all this today. If you go back where we started in Leviticus and read the rest of that chapter, and we're not going to turn back there, but if you go back there on your own time and read that list, you're going to see those things are happening today. in this new year, in closing, in this new year, let us as a church strive even more to follow our Lord in the Great Commission. That is our, or should be, our number one goal, is to carry out the Great Commission. And we got to remember, though, the Great Commission, as we've said before, is not stopping with the salvation of souls. When the Lord saves someone, we don't just stop there. It doesn't stop when, you know, we go out and preach the gospel to someone. We don't just stop there. It continues on when the Lord saves that person. If He saves that person, we should encourage them to come here and to be with us. And their desire should be, as a young Christian should be, their desire should be to want to be part of one of the Lord's churches. And it's our duty to teach them. That's part of the commission also. We're to make disciples out of them. Let us strive even more to love one another and those we have sweet fellowship with. And I don't see us having a problem with that, but we should strive every day for that, to love our fellow church members. And you know, we had seven different churches represented here last night. And I think all of them but one brought other people with them, whether it was their family or other church members. I think Brother Doug was the only one that was here alone last night. And those people they chose to be here. We didn't force them. They came on their own because they want fellowship with us. And because they enjoy being with God's people just like we do. That's why they're here. There are others, and we know there are others who can't be here. Go look at our Facebook page this morning and see the ones who commented on the sermon last night that watched it live. Some watched the recording later. They wanted to be here but couldn't. But they watched. Let us strive even more to be the beacon of truth in our community that we should be for our Lord. And that's a big step there. This church has been known for that, and we need to continue to be known for that. And so we'll close with that as we enter this new year. And we talked last week about, you know, we began this past year with our fellowship meetings again. We had a conference last year. We're planning on another one this year. We're so far been able to continue on with our fellowship meetings. For a small church, it's a big accomplishment, and it's an encouragement that, especially when with as much sickness as we've had this past year with our congregation, and then when it comes time for a fellowship or a conference, we've never had a lack for food at a fellowship meeting. There's always been leftovers for everybody, and we've always sent food home with somebody, you know, whether it was out to the Hobbs house or someone else who was sick and couldn't be here. That's never been a problem. That's a blessing. And the Lord has blessed us with that. Let's pray that He continues that until He comes. So we'll close with that.